Y'all, welcome to the morning that we join millions all over the world celebrating an empty tomb. Now, there is a traditional Easter greeting that's been in the church for 1,500 years. You may already know it, and if you don't, it's your first time here at the Ridge. Don't worry, I'm going to teach it to you, okay? It goes like this. It's actual response. Now, we're not a church that really does responses, so I'm going to need y'all to talk out loud, okay? So that's a little different. So turn to your neighbor right now and tell them, say, get ready. Preacher wants us to talk out loud, okay? Tell them. Warn them, okay, because it's not something we typically do here. Here's how it goes. It's real Easter. It is. It's real easy. All right, I'm going to slow down a little bit, okay? Here's how it goes. The pastor says, Christ is risen, and then you're going to say, he is risen indeed, okay? So I'll say, Christ is risen. You'll say, he is risen indeed. We're going to say this three times, but here's the kicker. Each time, we're going to get a little louder when we do it. So we're going to start here. We're going to move here. Then we're going to end up here, okay? So do y'all got that? Okay, are y'all ready? Let's try that again. Are y'all ready?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Christ is risen. Give it to me now. Christ is risen.
He is risen.
Amen. Man, I'm so glad to have you here on this Easter morning. And for those of you who are with us online, we're so glad that you are worshiping with us as well. Do me a favor right now. We're a church that uses our phones, so grab your phone and take and open up the Ridge app. And if you don't have it, go on the Google Play Store, the Apple Store, and grab that app for the Ridge Church in Columbus, Georgia. If you just search for it, you'll find it. Go ahead and download that. And fill out that connect card for us online so that we know that you're worshiping with us. And if this is your first time with us here at the Ridge, man, we're so glad that you're here. You could be worshiping anywhere, but you chose to be with us, and we don't take that lightly. We have a saying here at the Ridge. It goes like this: tired of the view, experience the Ridge. And what we mean by that is that we know that there are so many people that walk in here that are tired of the average ordinary view of life. And what we mean by that is that they're tired of a view that comes from not knowing God. They're tired of the view that comes from not knowing that they're loved, not knowing that there's a purpose in life, not having any fulfillment in life. And what we want is for everybody that walks in through those doors to know that there is a risen Savior and that he loves you so, so much. In fact, what we celebrate on Easter is that he was willing to trade his glory in heaven for a life here on this earth, to pay the penalty of our sin so that we can be with our Heavenly Father forever. And this is my favorite Sunday of the year. And if you're a believer, this should be your favorite Sunday of the year too, because it was this morning, on Easter morning, that a group of women, they went to the tomb, and the gospel of Matthew says that they were surprised when they found the tomb empty. They didn't find Jesus. Instead, what they found was an angel. And the angel had an announcement to make. And we're going to start there this morning, reading Matthew 28. Here's how the story is told. It says this: the Sabbath day was now over. It was dawn on the first day of the week, and Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. And there was a powerful earthquake, and an angel of the Lord came down from heaven. And the angel went to the tomb. He rolled the stone, and he sat on it. And his body shone like lightning. His clothes were as white as snow. And the guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Don't be afraid. I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said he would." Now, do me a favor here, Brandon, just leave this up here. Let's focus on this word risen right here, because what it comes down to is this word. What the Christian faith comes down to is the resurrection. It all hinges on the resurrection, that Christ actually came out of that grave. This is why today is such a big deal. This is why we get together and celebrate. This is why we get excited on Easter morning. It's because of this story. This amazing story of a God who loved us so much that he came and he died for us, but death could not hold him in the grave. And the story goes that he rose from that grave. Man, I love that story. I love stories. But for some of us, when we come to Easter and we hear that story, if we're honest, we've heard the story, we know the story, we understand the story, But for some of us this morning, if I were to ask you and you were to be brutally honest with me, you might say, you know, the story just doesn't hit me like it used to. Or the story, man, it just, I don't know, I just don't get excited about it like I used to. Like this Easter, I don't know what it is that maybe you're going through in your life right now, but maybe you're thinking to yourself, man, I wish I could get excited about Easter, but I just don't feel the story right now. You know, one of my favorite ways to experience exciting stories is by going to the movies. I love going to the movies. There's just something about being in the theater. There's just something about the big loud sound and the big screen and the popcorn. In fact, let's take a poll here. I'm curious, given the option, would you rather watch a new blockbuster in your home or at the theater? I'm just curious. So the new blockbuster. So for the guys, maybe it's like Top Gun. That's a good crowd pleaser, right? For the ladies, I don't know. The Notebook. I don't what. Sleepless in Seattle. Am I getting warm? No. Okay. Whatever it is, you ladies like to watch. Okay. Let's take a poll. Movie in the home or movie in the theater? Let's start with the home. How many of you say, I'd rather watch a movie in home? Okay, how many of y'all would rather go to the theater for the blockbuster? Oh, good, there's a lot of y'all. I knew we had cool people in this church. Yes. There's a lot. I love going to the movies. True story. One time, Shannon and I watched the movies with Kenny Rogers. Y'all know the gambler? Yeah. It's true. He came. And some of y'all have heard me tell this story before because I love it. I was in college. He came and sat right in front of me. And I looked at Shannon, we were dating at the time, and I looked at Shannon and I said, I gotta touch him. And I had my finger up, and I was just gonna graze the back, you know. Shannon looked at me, and she should have known at age 19 what she was getting herself into. She looked at me and she said, don't you dare touch Kenny Rogers. Imagine those words having to come out of your mouth. But what Kenny Rogers didn't know is that I drink a lot of Diet Coke during the movie, and so I got to go to the restroom quite often. And so by my third time going to the restroom, I actually got up and I bumped him, and he turned around and he looked at me and he did the coolest thing ever. He went, and I said, oh my gosh, I am so sorry, Kenny. I feel like we're on a first name basis because we're watching a movie together, right? And I looked at Shannon and I was like, that was so awesome. I made Kenny Rogers upset. You know? But that's my Kenny Rogers story. I love it. I love going to the movies. There are certain movies that are just my faves. And that movie that we were watching was one of them. It was Air Force One. Every time Air Force One is a long time ago, Harrison Ford. But whenever I see that, I think about that. Also, I remember going to E.T. when I was little. And I remember Star Wars when I was little. And then I remember, too, the movie that really struck me when I was growing up were movies in 3D. Now, this really blew my mind. You know, 3D just kind of takes it to the next experience, right? Think how far we've come. It was one thing to see movies when they started in black and white, and then we moved to movies that are color, and then there's this 3D experience. And if you look at something like The Wizard of Oz in 1939, that was like movie of the year, won the Oscars. But when that movie starts out, Dorothy starts out in black and white, and then when she lands in Oz and she opens the door, you know the story that she opens up into color. And that was like one of the first times. Clay was telling me when I was talking about this sermon and 3D, and he was like, I remember my mom telling me about seeing that movie and seeing a movie in color for the very first time and how cool that was. And then not only that, but then in the 90s, they took that movie and they remade it and they put it into 3D. And there's just something about that experience. There's just something about seeing a movie that way. Sometimes it gives it a little bit more feeling, a little bit more depth, a little bit more perspective. We kind of feel like we're experiencing the movie, like we're in it. So I have a point. You're like, what are we talking about movies for? Here's my point. The reason I bring this up is because I think a lot of people, when it comes to the Easter story, they don't really take time to really look at the fullness of it, the depth to it, all the dimensions of it. They've only experienced like this story in one dimension. And that's no way to view the greatest story ever told. Because truth is, what happened 2,000 years ago is the most significant thing that's ever happened in history. In fact, it's so significant, it splits our time in half, BC and AD. This is the day that changed time. This is the day that changed the world. This is the day that has changed you. And that's why we celebrate. But for a lot of us, we get to that where you're looking at me and you're like, preacher, I know the story. I know it. And it just doesn't hit like it used to. You know, what if you're only looking at it from one level? Like, what if there's multiple dimensions of it and maybe you're just missing it? Right, what I want to do this morning is I want to kind of open up this story a little bit. Okay, and I want us to focus on all three of these dimensions. If we can look at this story in 3D and look at these three different dimensions, I think we'll see that it makes a difference. So if you got your message notes, if you were one of the lucky ones that actually got a paper when you came in, because we ran out, I heard, you can pull those out. If you didn't get message notes, don't worry, they're on the app. So if you open up the app, you'll be able to find the message notes there. Let's fill in some blanks on how to see these different dimensions of the Easter story and how it brings fullness to it. Number one is this, it's past proof. It's the past proof of the resurrection. Okay, you see, when Jesus taught, he actually made some outrageous claims about who he was and what he would do, right? He claimed to be God. And not only that, but he claimed to know how to get to heaven, which honestly, at that time, it might not have been a big deal because there were other people that claimed to be God. There were other people that claimed to know about an afterlife. But what he said that made him different, he claimed that something would happen. And when this happened, he was like, this is going to prove to you, this is going to be the proof you need to know that I am the great I am. Because he knows there were people standing around that were skeptical back then, just like they are today. He was like, I know you saw me do the miracle where I fed people all that food. I know you think something that's like a trick, like hidden, something's hidden up in my sleeve, or you know, like, you may just think I'm a great teacher and all these teachings that I do, but there's going to be one thing. When I raise myself from the grave, this is going to prove to you that I am God, that I am Lord over all. And that would do it, right? That would do it. I mean, before this and after this, no one had done this, right? And if Jesus were to be able to pull this off, man, it changes everything we know. So what Jesus does is he begins teaching. At the very beginning of his ministry, he starts teaching about the resurrection, right? But he starts doing it in a way that doesn't freak everybody out. He's kind of vague about it. He uses a lot of metaphors. In fact, for example, in Matthew 12, he starts off this way. He says, just as John was in the belly of the great fish, that should be Jonah, just as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and three nights. I'm just seeing who caught that. Did y'all catch that? Did y'all catch my... See, I was trying to just float right over that. Couldn't do it. That's my typo there. Just as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and three nights, so will the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. Okay, and that made everybody think. Everybody's like, what are you talking about? We know the story about Jonah and the belly. What are you getting at, Jesus? And I think that this was brilliant. Of course, he's God, right? But it's so great that he starts out his ministry. He's like given these vague interpretations about what's going to happen because he doesn't want to freak everybody out. If he just starts out saying what that he wants them to know, it might make everybody turn around and say, this guy's crazy, this guy's nuts. They already thought that. So he's using these stories. He's dropping little Easter eggs in his stories about what's going to come. Let me give you another example. He said this in John 2:19. He said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. Now this time, by the time he gets to this point, he's really starting to grab some traction with people. Great crowds are following. They're all around him. And this really confused people. They're looking at the temple behind Jesus and they're like, Jesus, that took us over 40 years to build. What are you talking about? You're going to destroy it and build it up in 3 days? What in the world are you talking about? And Jesus is like, no, you don't understand. You see, your body is a temple, and by the temple, I mean my body, and I'm going to die. And he's like, you don't get it right now, but one day you will. One day you'll get it. So as time started to unfold, and as they got closer to the day that it's going to happen, Jesus is beginning to realize we're not as smart as we think we are, right? So he's like, I got to be pretty clear. Let me be very clear with you. In Matthew 20, at the end of the gospel, he puts it this way. He said, listen, we're going to go up to Jerusalem where the Son of Man will be betrayed into the leading priests and the teachers of the religious law. They're going to sentence him to die. Then they will hand him over to the Romans to be mocked, flogged with a whip, and crucified. But on the third day, he'll be raised from the dead. Now, he gets really specific. He's like, listen. We've been going through all this stuff. You've been listening to me. You've been seeing all this stuff. And I'm about to prove once and for all that all these things that I've said about who I am, that it's all true. And the disciples, they weren't really sure how to take this. Scripture says they were filled with grief and they argued with Jesus a little bit about this. But what Jesus was trying to do is just reinforce, this is going to prove, when this happens, it'll prove my identity. So eventually everybody starts putting this together, right? He's being very clear at this time. In fact, so clear that the guards go to Pilate, to the Roman hierarchy, and they go straight to Pilate, and they're like, Pilate, do you remember what Jesus was teaching and how he's going to come back from the grave? And this is the stories that were being told, and we might need to do something about this. So Pilate does something unprecedented, something he's never done. He seals the tomb. He puts guards at the tomb to make sure that nothing happens to the body of Jesus. But you know the story. The grave couldn't hold him, the disciples didn't take him, and the Romans couldn't stop him. And Jesus walked out of that grave on Easter Sunday, and it changed everything. And so many people saw it. So many people saw the risen Jesus alive that it proved he was who he said he was. They saw him. I was thinking about this the other day. Did y'all know that John Travolta was in Columbus shooting a movie a little while back? Did y'all know that? How many of y'all? Did y'all see it? Okay. So I started hearing little rumblings that he was here in town. I was like, nah, that's not true. Why would John Travolta be in Columbus, right? And then I looked on Facebook and I saw pictures and I saw more people talking about it. More people had seen him. And I saw a picture of him at Kilwin's. And I said, Shannon, let's go get some chocolate. Let's go hunt John Travolta down. Run around town, see if we can catch a glimpse. I had to believe that he was here because so many people saw him. You see, what a lot of people don't understand is just how many people saw the risen Savior Jesus Christ that proved that he was alive. Dr. Luke in the book of Acts said that Jesus stayed around for 40 days. And he was seen by people. He taught them. He hugged them. He ate dinner with them. He even cooked dinner for a few of them. How cool is that? It was Luke's way of saying, if you don't believe me, go ask them. And then Paul comes around and he writes in 1 Corinthians that there were 500 people, Peter, the apostles, and all these 500 people. And Paul was like, listen, if you don't believe me, go ask them. Imagine the people living in Jerusalem that saw Jesus up on the cross, saw him at the entrance to the city, which is where that crucifixion would have happened. They all saw him die. And then days later, seeing him back out, preaching again. They're looking around going, what in the world? That would have got your attention. It would have gotten mine too. You see, my point is that story after story after story, it proves the resurrection. Mary Magdalene meeting with Jesus, Jesus on the road to Emmaus, the story of doubting Thomas in the upper room. They all claim to have seen the risen Lord. They had to believe. And you have to believe. There's eyewitness proof that he is who he says he is. That he is really God sent to save us from our sins. That he is Lord over all, even death. But that's one dimension of the story, okay? That's the proof that we need. The second dimension is the promise. Number two is the perfect promise that's given to us. Now, this is where the story builds, okay? This is where we get a little bit more excitement because Jesus claimed that if he resurrected himself, the promise is that he's going to resurrect us also. So now we're starting to see this story with a little bit more color to it and the plot thickens. You see, he is the only one that can actually offer eternal life to us. That's the beauty of the gospel message. You see, the promise of the resurrection is that death is no longer the end. There is life beyond the grave. And that's amazing news for us today because I hate to break it to you. And I know you don't want to think about this, but one day, everybody take a deep breath. One day you're going to die, okay? It's going to happen. There's only two things that are certain in life, death and taxes, right? We know that death is ahead of us. So Jesus makes this promise. Look at this verse that he gives us. In John 11, he says, I am the resurrection. Jesus is looking at the disciples and he's saying, take it in. This is me. I am the resurrection, okay? I am God in flesh. I am the one that makes this happen. And I am the life. I am the one that gave you life, the beginning of your life. I am the one that gives you eternal life forevermore. And in case you're not figuring this out, in case you don't understand what I'm trying to lay down here, let me just be as specific as I can possibly be. And he finishes up. He says, anyone who believes in me will live even after you die. That's the promise we have. And you see, here's the deal. If Jesus hadn't proved himself that he was God by resurrecting from the grave, there would be no chance of heaven. There would be zero chance of an afterlife for you and for me. There is no hope. It's all over. And the reason that this is so important for us, you see, the reason that we get together and we celebrate every Sunday about a resurrected Savior is because we all have a problem. We all have a sin problem. Scripture says that every single one of us, none of us is without sin. We've all messed up. It's true. Turn to your neighbor right now and ask them, why are you so bad? Ask them, why are you so bad? Now, don't give them an answer. I know some of y'all are like, how much time we got, preacher? No. That's not what I'm looking for. Listen, we're all sinful. We're born into a broken world. And what that sin does is it separates us from God. And the Bible says that sin corrupts us so much that what we deserve is death. We deserve to die. We don't deserve to live forever. But what Jesus does is Jesus comes in and he enters into our messiness. He takes it upon himself and he dies for us and he pays that price for us so that we can experience eternity with our Heavenly Father. And that's good news. And that's the perfect promise that is given to anyone that believes in him. And not only that, but the promise we have is that this place that he is preparing for us, this place in eternity in heaven, is a perfect place. It's a better place than what we have right now. Isn't it nice to know that there's something better? Have you had one of those recently? Have you had one of those moments where you're like, it just doesn't get any better than this kind of moments? You know, maybe you've had a tough year at work, but last week you were on spring break and you were at the beach and you're just sitting there and you're like, doesn't get much better than this, right? Or maybe you're at your home and the family's all gone and you love your kids, but they're out of the house, right? And you got some peace and quiet and you're like, oh, it doesn't get much better than this. Or you've been on a diet for so long, but today is cheat day and I'm about to eat an entire pizza all by myself. It doesn't get much better. Maybe that's just me. But listen, even on your best day, whatever that day may be, it doesn't compare to what the resurrection is going to be for us. And sometimes that's hard to grasp because nothing is as ever perfect as it sounds like it's going to be, right? But the Bible says there's one exception. There's one exception. Heaven's not going to disappoint us. It's better than anything you could imagine. The Bible actually says this in Romans 5:5. It says, and this hope, this perfect hope, this perfect promise that we have, it will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us. And that's a promise. So, we're starting to get a bigger picture, right? The first dimension is the proof that we have of who Jesus is, that he actually is who he claimed to be. That the second dimension there is the promise, right? The perfect promise that we have of what's awaiting us. And then the third dimension, it all builds up to this, is the power. Okay, the power. The present power. It's in this dimension that we find a changed life. Because it's not just past proof that we hold on to. It's not just perfect promise of a future hope that we cling to. It's a present power that's available to us right here, right now, in this moment. And that power, that resurrection power, changes everything. And you see, if you're not tapped into this power on a daily basis, if you leave this layer out, then you're missing out. If you're not relying on his power, there's a problem, because the Bible says the same power, that same power that resurrected him from the grave, that allowed him to walk out of that tomb, is the same power that's given to you through the presence of the Holy Spirit. You get to experience a resurrected power each and every day. You have the power. You know, when I was growing up, I remember one of my favorite toys was He-Man. Any of y'all remember He-Man? Let me see. Raise your hands if you remember He-Man. Yeah, all right. For those of y'all that don't know, man, I had the whole thing. I had Castle Grayskull. I had them all. But I do remember there's this part in He-Man, and if you know the story, you know that the way that he changed from Prince Adam into He-Man was that he'd hold a sword up, and he would yell out, "I have the power," and he would change. And I drove my parents crazy with my plastic sword. I'd run around the house, "I have the power." Let me tell you, friends, you have the power. You have the power. The resurrected Savior, this is real, has given you the power right now to transform your life. The problem is, we just forget about this third dimension. The problem is, we don't access that power like we should. Let me give you something to think about. If you want to know if you're plugged into that power like you should be, let me give you these four categories here up on the screen, okay? If you're not plugged into the power, these four things will happen in your life: fear, frustration, fatigue, and failure. For those sitting in the back that might not be able to see that, let me read that again. Fear, frustration, fatigue, and failure. If you were to give yourself a grade, if we were in a class right now and you were to grade yourself on each one of these, A through F, what grade would you give yourself on each one of these? And some of us might be looking at this and we're probably thinking to ourselves, am I flunking church? Because I'm not doing so good on any of these things. You see, ordinary lives are consumed with fear. And the reason is because there's so many things that I feel like I can't control, and fear overwhelms us. Ordinary lives are filled with frustration. And the reason is because there's so many things in life that I want to change, but I don't have the power to change them on my own. Ordinary life is fatigue. We're tired all the time. Be honest, how many of y'all are already thinking about this afternoon's nap? You're already ready for it? Oh man, me too. Yeah, I'm right there, right? But we're fatigued all the time because we don't have the energy we need, the strength that we need on our own. And when you're fearful, frustrated, and fatigued, the ordinary life can feel like a failure, because no matter how hard we try, sometimes we're just not good enough on our own. We give it our best shot, and we still miss. We mess up. Listen, God knows that we struggle with all these things. That's why he gives us that power to transform us and take us out of the ordinary and into the extraordinary. The problem is, we don't plug into it. We forget this part. And maybe that's why Easter isn't such a big deal, or maybe that's why you're not feeling it, because you've forgotten about the power that's alive and available to you right now. Sometimes we don't ask for it like we should. You know, the Apostle Paul, he was all about this resurrecting power. It was in so much of his work and his teachings through the, he just wanted people to remember the power that's made available to us. And he said this in Philippians. He says, all I want, this is all I want in my life, and I want this for you too. He's like, all I want is to know Christ and the power that raised him to life, because that's what it's all about. The power to forgive the past, the power to start over, the power to change my life, the power to have a better life. I have the power. And so do you. You have that power. Are you looking for it? Are you asking for it? Because that power will change your life. So what do you expect from God out of Easter? Like, are you just feeling like it's just another year, it's just the same old, same old? You know, I think there are some people that accept the proof of the resurrection, and that's good. That's good. Man, I'm so glad that you believe. You know, you need that, but that's just one part of it, right? There's so many people that go a bit further, they get a little bit more color, and they remember the promise that's given. Man, and I'm so glad that you understand the promise that God provides. I'm glad you have that hope. We need that hope in a broken world, but there's more to it. I want you to remember, the people that get the most out of it are people that realize that there's this third dimension. The power that just doesn't take care of my past. The power for the hope that is in the future. But the power that I need for a better life right here, right now. A changed life in Jesus Christ in the present. Don't forget that resurrection power that's been made available to you. Let's pray for it right now. God, we just thank you so much for Easter Sunday and for what it represents. God, for what you came to do for us, what you came to give us. God, we don't deserve it. We don't deserve any of it. And yet you do it anyway. Because the Bible says you loved us so much. So, God, we thank you. We thank you for that. While we're praying, let's just pause here for a minute with our heads bowed. And let me just say that I realize that some of us might be here this morning that we don't know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We haven't given our lives to him. But this morning, you understand the sin problem that we have. You understand the promise of forgiveness and the promise for a better life. And you want that, but you've never accepted Jesus. If that's you this morning, just pray this with me. Just pray this to yourself. Jesus, I don't understand everything, but I do know that you died for my sin, that you were resurrected from the grave. I ask for forgiveness for my sins, and I ask you to come into my heart. And the best I know how, I want to live for you. Now, if you prayed that, come and talk to me after church. And let's all pray together. Jesus, we thank you again for the gospel message. We thank you for the amazing story of death and resurrection, how it provides forgiveness for a past, the promise for a better future. But also, God, we thank you for the power right now to transform our lives in the present. God, we need your power. We need your resurrecting power because life is tough. And I pray for each person in this room right now and for those that are online and the struggles that they all face, God. I know that we all have struggles in our life, God. But I pray that we would walk out of here today realizing the amazing power and the presence that you provide and how you can give us the peace that we are so desperate for. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for Easter, for what it means for us as believers. And Jesus, we worship you, and we worship you alone. It's in your name we pray all these things. Amen. Amen.